Pastor Kerry Willis, and I welcome you to today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks.
I'm Grayson Willis. We're so glad that you've joined us today, and we pray that today's program will be a half hour of hope for your life.
That's exactly the business we're in, the hope business. And we do pray that today's program will in some way lift your heart, maybe lift your gaze, or at least encourage your mind. And we're going to be talking about hope. And those of you who have joined us before know that hope is a name. Hope also has a face. The name is Jesus, and his face is glorious. And so we pray in some way on this Front Porch Talk session that you will come to know that hope is alive, very, very much alive. You know, we're sort of marching toward the resurrection season. We call it Easter. And we believe that hope sort of takes on a whole new purpose, personality during this time of the year, especially as we see spring starting to happen around us and this sense that Easter is just on the horizon. And hope happened Easter morning for us, no doubt whatsoever, when Jesus himself, yes, our God of hope, the Son of God, came out of the grave victorious with life for us all, eternal life. Last session, we talked about the three dimensions of worship, or the three dimensions of holiness. You know, holiness and worship are synonymous, really. And when we come to God to worship, we must come with hearts of holiness. And that may seem a little impossible to us, this idea of holiness. But the Word of God says to us in several places, "Be holy, for the Lord your God is holy." Now, I want to give you some good news. Holiness is a God thing. It's not a us thing. It's a God thing. And the beautiful thing is that he extends his holiness to us. And that really is the definition of hope. As a matter of fact, the church I pastor, Harrisonburg First Church of the Nazarene, we like to say that we are a beacon of hope in the Shenandoah Valley and beyond. And actually, what that really means is we are a beacon of holiness in the Shenandoah Valley and beyond, because the holiness of God is our hope, both now and forevermore. And today I want to talk a little bit, following up that session on the three dimensions of holiness, or the three dimensions of worship, with an idea that is kind of communicated in four words: the way of holiness. The way of holiness. Now, we know that Jesus said, "I am the way." And so first and foremost, I want you to know that when I talk about holiness, I am mainly talking about a person, the God person. Yes, that second person in the Godhead, Jesus himself. And I want you to know that he is the way. He said that in John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me." So he is the way of holiness, because the Father is holy. And he is our way to the Father. So today, when you hear this idea of holiness, I don't know what your past experience has been or the definitions that might come to mind, but there should be no greater definition of the word holiness than Jesus Christ himself. Yes, the holy Son of God, who came to be our sacrifice Savior on the cross and rose again that Easter morning to give to us the way, the truth, and the life back to holy God. And so today I find our scripture, our launching pad, so to speak, for this particular broadcast from Isaiah of the Old Testament, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35 and verse 8. And here's what the prophet said in that beautiful verse: "A highway shall be there and a road." Listen again. "A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness," or the way of holiness. And so today, with those words in mind that Isaiah gave to us to encourage us in the life of holiness, "A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness." With that scripture in our mind, I want us to look a little bit at an outline that helps us to better understand the way of holiness, or the way of the Lord. And this is a beautiful, beautiful invitation for us today, that we are invited onto the highway of holiness through right relationship with Jesus Christ. I've had the privilege of traveling on some beautiful highways. I suppose you have as well. In Christian living, there is also a highway, and it is the most beautiful highway of all. As a matter of fact, we find in the Old Testament many declarations like this. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Yeah. And so the idea is that the highway of holiness is the most beautiful of all highways. And today we want to consider this beautiful highway, the way of holiness. First of all, we want to talk a little bit about the aspects of the way of holiness. I want to say four things about the aspects of the way of holiness. First of all, the way of holiness is a way of self-surrender. So Grayson, when you think of this idea of holiness and the idea of the aspect of self-surrender, what do you suppose I'm getting at, or what do you suppose that I'm hoping the people will hear?
That we will give our lives completely, or surrender our lives completely to Christ, to His control in our lives, because He can't make us give Him control of our lives. That's only something that we can do. We have to choose to give Him control of our lives.
Exactly. And because Jesus, who is the way of holiness, He Himself is the holy highway, He gave His all for us. The hymn writer said, Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. And so certainly if we expect to be on the highway of holiness, one aspect will be, the first aspect for us, our part in it all, is to surrender our all, to surrender our self-centeredness in order for the highway of holiness to be our way. A second idea when you think of the aspect of the way of holiness is this. The highway of holiness, or the way of holiness, is a way of heart cleansing. And so we know, Grayson, that Jesus came to forgive us of our sins, but He knew we had a greater issue, and that was a heart issue. And the Scripture says in 1 John that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So when you hear this idea of us surrendering our self-centeredness, our sin, our sinful ways to the Lord, He brings to us a heart cleansing. What kind of things might come to your mind when you think of a cleansed heart?
Well, we ask God for forgiveness of our sins, and He purifies us of our sins, and that gives us a cleansed heart. And that doesn't just purify us from sin, but it makes us want to be a different person, a new creation.
Yes, Grace, and I think you're right on track. I've heard it said by some old-time preachers that when the Lord comes, He comes to forgive us, but He comes also to cleanse us. And the idea is He wants to change the mainspring of our lives. In other words, that main idea. And the idea is that He wants to get us beyond ourselves or our self-centeredness, really. And He wants to get us focused on who He is. And as a result of that, we will have a new attitude. That's kind of what Grayson was saying. We have a new way of approaching life. And we want to live the holy life. Not that we have to, but we desire to. And so when we surrender our all to the one who paid it all, then our hearts are cleansed of the attitude or the disposition of wanting to do wrong. And all of a sudden, we really have this deep desire that comes from the one called Wonderful, Jesus Himself. He gives to us this heart desire, this mainspring, that we would live in a way to prove our love to Him. It's a desire that has been cleansed from wanting sin and wanting self-centeredness to wanting Him and wanting His holiness. There's a third idea, aspect, on this way of holiness. It's the way of the Spirit filling our lives, or Spirit-filled lives. Grayson, when you think of the idea of the Spirit coming and filling our lives, what do you want to communicate from your personal point of view on the idea of Spirit filling?
Well, we were talking about having a cleansed heart and about how not only does He forgive our sins and purify our hearts, but He makes us a new creation. Well, the only way that we can be a new person and not do the things that we used to do is with that Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. And so having a Spirit-filled life is having the Holy Spirit come and live in us and keep us on the right track and to keep us purified and to keep us holy.
Exactly. So when we surrender our all to the one who paid it all, we empty our lives of the bad stuff And he fills us with his good stuff. And I want to say that with all capital letters. It truly is the Holy Spirit himself. The scripture says in Colossians 1 and verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the only way we can have the hope of glory, the hope of heaven within our hearts, is that the Holy Spirit himself would come and fill that empty place with everything that is holy. And we become sanctuaries of the living God. And that is the Spirit-filled life. And that, my friends, is truly an aspect of the highway or the way of holiness. Finally, on the aspects of holiness, we know that holiness is also a way of service. So, Grayson, when you think about what the Lord has called us to and what he's enabled us to be or who he's enabled us to be, when you think of the idea of serving, when he comes and we have surrendered our self-centeredness, he has cleansed our hearts, cleaned our hearts, emptied our hearts of everything evil, placed within us his own spirit. How will that affect the way we serve?
Well, Dad, when the Spirit fills us, we'll want to live the way that he lived his life here on earth, the way Jesus Christ lived here on earth as he was filled with the Spirit also. And it makes us have his desires. And one of those desires is to put others before ourselves, to serve others. It says in the Bible that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So we should desire to put others before ourselves, just as Jesus put others before himself. He put the disciples before himself as he washed their feet and did many other things to serve them. And we should want to imitate what he did when he lived here on earth. And the Spirit will direct us in that way and how to serve others.
That's beautiful indeed. All of that is so true. You know, during this spring season, I'll make about my 14th visit. We call it a discipleship journey to Israel, to the Holy Land. And one of my favorite places to visit is the upper room outside of Jerusalem. It's toward the south side of the old city. The upper room is remembered there. And you have this picture in the upper room on the night that Jesus would be betrayed. He took a basin of water and a towel and wrapped it around his waist. And then he went from one disciple to another, these crude fishermen, tax collector, zealot, you know, all these people who had come to be his disciples and really to become his family. And he served them. He gave them a picture. He gave them an illustration of what it really means to be on the way of holiness, to empty yourself of serving yourself, to empty yourself so that he can come and clean your heart, to give us a Spirit-filled life. And he proves that in the way he served his disciples. And then he went on to say, I have given you this example that you should serve one another. And he was telling them what was going to be possible. When Pentecost happened and the Holy Spirit came and took up residency and presidency within each believer, and that they would then be set free like never before from themselves to serve others. And definitely an aspect on the way of holiness is you will find that it moves you into a life of servanthood, and you do it not out of duty, but out of pure delight. And this is holiness, my friends. I want to talk about some other ideas, not just the aspects of the way of holiness, but now I want to talk a little bit about the possibilities of entering this way of holiness. Maybe you're thinking, well, this all sounds good, Pastor Kerry, but I can tell you that I don't believe I'm a candidate for holiness. Well, I want you to know that if you're breathing, you are a candidate for holiness. This is what Jesus had in mind, not just to forgive your sins, but to set you apart for his own glory, to sanctify you, to make you holy, to put his presence within you in such a way that you become a holy tabernacle of Jesus Christ, a holy sanctuary of his presence. So when we look at these possibilities of entering this way of holiness, I want to share four ideas. First of all, the way of holiness was promised. So Grayson, when you read the Word of God, you know all throughout there that Jesus was saying, this is the life that can be yours. So when you think about the promise of holiness for your life, how does that make you feel? What does it make you think?
It gives us the promise of new life, not just here on earth, certainly here on earth first and foremost, but also eternal life in heaven with the Father God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit one day. And so holiness purifies us and gives us hope here on earth and after we die and enter eternal life one day.
Exactly. And of course, the invitation and the declaration is found in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, when Jesus spoke and he said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, comes within you, and you will be my witnesses." So the idea is that the Holy Spirit is the one who makes us holy. And when the Holy Spirit was given, the promise was fulfilled. And today I want you to know we're 2,000 years away from Pentecost Sunday when Jesus made good on his promise and he had ascended back to the Father, but he sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live in us. And he is the promise. He is the promised Spirit of God that Jesus talked about. A second idea when we talk about the possibilities of entering this way of holiness, Christ prayed that his followers would enter the way of holiness. When you think about Jesus praying for you, Grayson, and of course the prayer that you would be holy, what exactly comes to your mind?
Well, I just pray that he would help me, guide me, direct me to do what he would want me to do in every situation and not to miss any opportunities and to make me more like him and to make my thoughts one with his thoughts. That's some of the things that I think about.
And I have no doubt that that is exactly the way Jesus prays for you and for me and for everyone who has ever been born on the planet, that we would have this promise fulfilled in our lives and that we would enter the way of holiness. And you know, in John 17, we have the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Long about verse 21, Jesus is praying to the Father, and he basically says, "Make them one just as you and I are one." So when you say you're holy, you're saying, "I'm one with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit." In other words, I have been brought into that holy relationship. And this is why Jesus came and died. At the very end of his prayer in John 17, the New International Version of the Holy Scripture says it this way, the prayer of Jesus, saying to the Father these words, "That I myself may be in them." And we know that he places himself in us through the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, and we are given access to the Lord in a very right relationship. And Christ has prayed for this, so he wouldn't pray for something that would not be possible. There's a third idea when you think about the possibilities of entering this way of holiness. Provision was made for entering. In other words, the price has been paid. Grayson, tell us a little bit about the price that was paid for us to be forgiven and also to be holy.
Well, God sacrificed his only son, Jesus, on the cross for our sins so that we might be forgiven, so that we might have a chance at eternal life. And we shouldn't take that lightly. And also, Jesus was willing to be sacrificed. He was willing. He loved us enough and loved the Father enough to come on this earth as a human, just like me, just like you, to live on this earth as a human being and ultimately to pay the ultimate sacrifice of his life so that we may have eternal life, so that we may be forgiven of our sins and have a chance of eternal life. That is something that we would never have the chance for if it was not for that ultimate sacrifice that God made and that Jesus made.
Exactly. And you know, if we say things like or believe things like, "Well, I can never enter on the way of holiness. I can never enter into such a way of sanctification." You know, basically what we're saying is the Son of God was not a big enough gift in order for us to receive what God had in mind. And that's really, really what we call stinking thinking, because we have to believe that God gave his one and only Son. And I want to tell you, friends, he was enough then and he is enough now. And he will always be enough in order for us, even the likes of us, especially the likes of us, to be found on the way of holiness. He is the provision, in other words. The way has been provided, been paid for, and all we have to do is surrender our self-centeredness, let the Spirit cleanse our hearts, the Spirit take up residency and presidency within us, set us into a life of service, claim the promise that He has given, believe that Christ prayed that we would be holy, and know that He is enough to make it reality. There is another idea under the possibilities of entering this way of holiness. Believers of all ages have entered this way. So when we look back through the Bible, we see people entering the way of holiness or walking onto the highway of holiness. And certainly that is still underway in our day. We still have opportunity. Grayson, do you believe that today people can still believe on Jesus Christ in the age we live in and enter the highway of holiness?
Yes, Dad. As long as you're breathing, it's not too late for you to turn to God and to ask Him to forgive you of your sins and to give you a cleansed heart and to ask the Holy Spirit to come and live in your heart and for you to be a new creation and to have a new life starting today.
Yes, starting today. Do not delay what is presented and offered to you today. And I want to tell you, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. And so that's not an intimidating statement. That's an inviting statement. Not intimidation, but invitation. And that was a great offer that Grayson just made. It's not too late. We have today. And so today is definitely our day. Jesus did what He did then, so we can have all that He provided now and for forever. There's a third idea, not just the aspects of the way of holiness, not just the possibilities of entering this way of holiness, but finally, there are conditions of entering the way of holiness. We've talked about them some throughout our dialogue, but let's give at least three so they're clear. If we want to enter the way of holiness, first of all, we have to have knowledge that we've been forgiven. So you don't have to worry about the highway of holiness if you're not interested in forgiveness of sins and turning from sinning and turning to worshiping. And so the sense is, Grayson, that we have to know that we have come to Christ as our Savior. So what do you think about when you think about the qualifications that set us up, the conditions, so that we can be on this highway of holiness all the way until the end of our lives and into eternity? What might be on your mind about what we might call the first work of grace, salvation, being forgiven?
Well, salvation is something that's been offered to us. We just have to accept it. And like I said, we shouldn't take the fact that He sent His Son to die on the cross lightly. So it's a free gift. And so we should want to accept it. We should be glad to accept it. We should be honored to accept it. And that's the forgiveness of our sins and the cleansing of our heart, which is salvation through Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And because there is salvation, we should look forward to sanctification. And salvation has more to do with pardon, and sanctification has more to do with purity. And all of these are provided for us in the crucifixion and the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus Christ. A second idea on the conditions of entering the way of holiness, we have to make a complete and living dedication of our lives away from ourselves and to Him. So, Grayson, when you think of dedicating your all to the Lord who laid down His life to be your Savior and your Lord, what kind of things would you like to share?
Well, I think about how if Jesus was willing to die on the cross for our sins, if God was willing to send His only Son, Jesus, to live on this earth as a human being and to die on the cross for our sins, that if He died for us, we should be willing to live our lives for Him and also know, not just do it because we'll get eternal life if we live for Him, but live for Him because He loves us and we should return that love to Him as well.
Beautiful. Yes, definitely. He died for me. I can live for Him. And I can live with all that He had in mind. The inheritance is that I would have salvation, sanctification, and one day glorification. In other words, I would have forgiveness. I would have His holiness. And one day I would have heaven as my home. Now these are beautiful, beautiful guarantees for everyone who will place their immediate and ultimate faith in Jesus Christ alone. There's one third condition, kind of a two-step condition, of entering the way of holiness. So let me recap what we said. We have to have knowledge of forgiveness, salvation. We have to make a complete and living dedication of our whole lives to the Lord. And finally, we have to believe and receive. So Grayson, when you think about believing and receiving, what would you like to kind of add to that?
Well, certainly it would be hard to accept salvation if we didn't, you know, believe that we were truly forgiven and truly cleansed and truly sanctified. So we have to believe that God can do that in our lives. We have to trust and believe that He can do it. And I mentioned a little bit ago that we have to accept it. It's offered to us. We just have to accept it. So it's there for us. We just have to accept it and ask God to cleanse us and to sanctify us. So that would be what I would have to say as far as believing and accepting His salvation.
Exactly, Grayson. And in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, without faith, without believing, it is impossible to please God. We have to believe that He's a great God and He's a good God. And that scripture in Hebrews 11, 6 goes on to say, let me get a running start at it. I'm doing it from memory. The sense is that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because those who come to Him must believe that He exists, that He's great, and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him, that He's good. So we must believe this if we are going to be on the highway of holiness. We must believe and then believe and receive what He has provided. The inheritance of the children of God is given through the Son of God, Jesus Himself. So I pray today that you will exercise faith and you will reach out and take the gift, not only of salvation and forgiveness, but also sanctification, purity, holiness, and that you will look forward to the day of glorification. That will be heaven itself. In our closing words today, I just want to say, in the way of holiness, the resources are unlimited. Since provision has been made for entering this highway of holiness, let us not be satisfied with journey in any way but God's way, the highway, the way, Jesus Himself. He is our way. I want to read the scripture one more time from Isaiah 35 and verse 8. A highway shall be there and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. It goes on to say, I didn't give you this part earlier, but now you understand what I'm saying. The unclean shall not pass over it. The uncleansed shall not pass over the highway of holiness. So the idea is that we must be cleansed. We must have the Spirit of the living God living within us as Lord of all. I pray that this broadcast today has been a half hour of hope for your life.
Here's our friend Brian Arner singing about the pure life of holiness. Today's broadcast of Front Porch Talks is sponsored by Sunshine Ministries.